And welcome back to Coast AM. We've got open lines for you this hour. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Tomorrow morning, I'm hosting a special panel and event at the Journey Expo. All that information is on our website at coasttocoastam.com. But what a gorgeous city, of course. You know, I was born in Detroit, so the team we all rooted for in college, the University of Michigan, and what a rivalry with Ohio State. Unbelievable. But as we were driving up to our fine studios, WTVN, I saw the Ohio State Stadium, and that thing is gorgeous. It really is. But special thanks tonight to engineers Greg Savaldi, Matt Douglas from AM 610, who did just yeoman's work, as we say in the Navy, getting me on the air back to Los Angeles. So I truly appreciate that. While I was flying from St. Louis to Columbus in a rainstorm that has yet to stop, and there's nothing like a cold rain. I can handle snow, I can handle heat, but I hate it when it's 40 degrees and it's raining, because it's just cold when it hits you, and it's just a different kind of rain. It really is. Anyway, I got on the plane, and five military guys were coming on the plane as well, and everybody applauded as they were walking down the aisle. And it was, I've got to tell you, it was an emotional, fantastic feeling. People were saying thank you and everything else. And they held a whole series of a couple seats for some of them. And even a couple other people got up and gave their better seats to the military folks. And then when we left, the flight attendants from Southwest said, please, everybody, don't move. Just let the folks from the military, please, get off first. They've got places to go quickly. And everybody did. It was just really neat to see that. And, you know, after spending 9 years in the Navy, never seen combat, by the way. I mean, I never want to embellish that. These are young men and women who are just giving their lives for us, whether we agree with the cause or not, that are force-fed by politicians. That's another story. But these men and women are our military, and they're our line of defense. And thank God for them. Speaking of military action, tonight Israel apparently has struck Syrian weapons and facilities in Syria. So keep an eye on that story through the weekend. Anyway, we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take your open line calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Don't forget John B. Wells for us on Saturday night, and then I'll be live back in the cave in St. Louis Sunday night. I'll be back in St. Louis for about a week before I head back to Los Angeles, and we've got a great series of weekend programs for you, including emerging artists Sunday night, first Sunday. Let's go to Arben in Tampa, Florida, wild card line. Let's get us going. Hello, Arben.
Hi, George Norrie. How are you doing, sir?
I'm okay, and I hope you are too.
Thank you. Been a big fan of the show. Listened since 99. I wanted to tell you a story about once I'm Albanian. My family lives in the former Yugoslavia of Macedonia. So when I was 17 years old, I went there alone. And my mother's, my grandparents on my mom's side, they have the house that my mom grew up in, and then they have a bigger house that is newer built.
Okay.
So, regardless, I was staying in that big house alone, and I was reading a Game Pro magazine, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and there was just one window in that room, and they had shade, so, you know, once you turned off the lights, it got pretty dark, but there was a little bit of, the curtain didn't come down all the way like a white shade, so the moonlight is very strong over there because you're in a village and it's, you know, rural.
Not a lot of lights outside to
exactly, not a lot of light pollution. So the moonlight kind of lights up the room as your eyes get assimilated once you turn off the lights. And I was just lying in bed, trying to relax, you know, and fall asleep. And I just noticed a figure that looked like a silhouette of a man, but probably 8 to 10 feet tall, at the edge of my bed, but leaning diagonal, and it was reaching its hand out to me. And I was just more or less fixated on it. I wasn't scared. I wasn't terrified. I was just more in awe. I just kept looking at it, you know, and it just kept repeating the same thing. It kept extending its hand out to me, extending its hand out to me.
Huh.
So when I came back to America, because I was just there for the summer, I was 17 years old, and I told my aunt, and she knows a lot of stories and superstition, I guess, whatever you want to call it, you know. And she said, "Oh no," she goes, that had to be like a guardian angel or somebody you knew that may have passed away, and that's why they were extending its hand to you.
It could have. I'm curious, Arvin, why you didn't reach out and grab the hand?
I thought about it, but in a way, I was kind of frozen, too. It's like I was just, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was just lying, and I mean, it like I wasn't, didn't have no emotion of fear come over me. It's just I was in awe of it. I just couldn't stop looking at it. And like I said, it just kept repeating the same thing. And that probably went on for 5, maybe 10 minutes. And then it just disappeared.
So it obviously made you feel comfortable. As you mentioned, you weren't afraid. What was that feeling of comfort?
It was peaceful. Serene, I guess, very peaceful and serene. You know, maybe some people, they might get scared and run out of the room. I'm in a big house by myself, you know, and I had no emotions of fear. I actually just felt happy. I felt very at peace. I wasn't scared or I just...
Well, I think, Arden, that most people would have run out of that room at that point. I don't think many people would have reached and grabbed the hand. You did not either, but I think a lot of people would have just hightailed it out. Let's go to Scott, truck driving in Illinois. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling.
Well, you're welcome. Good evening, George. Great show again tonight.
Thank you.
I was trying to get a hold of your guest, but I hope maybe you'll be able to talk about it a little.
All right. We'll give it our shot.
You had a real nice gentleman on your program several times that talked about it. It's that vibrational thing that she was talking about, I think. That's what I wanted to ask her, that 528i. You know, how can you incorporate music into your warfare or your ritual or, you know, I just wanted to ask her about the 528i.
Was that Dr. Horowitz or was that somebody else?
Yeah, that might have been Len Horowitz.
Yeah, he's into sound and vibration.
Is that the same kind of vibration that she was talking about with the colors and the
scents
and the
oil? Same thing. It all blends together. It really does. I went out, by the way, I went out and got that frequency that Dr. Horowitz was talking about, and I play it every once in a while. It's on a CD, and it does kind of like tune you up. It's very strange how that works. Hazard, Kentucky, it's Brian's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
You've had a guest on several times, James McKinney. I've been reading his website, and he says he's solved a 2,500-year-old mathematical problem about prime numbers. Just what will the answer to that problem do for humanity or physics or, you know, just what exactly?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, the next time we have Dr. McKinney on, let's ask him that specifically. He does claim that he's done some mathematical equations with prime numbers, and I'm sure it would have a bearing on everything, physics, you name it. I'm not the one to answer that, but he is. and let's grab him when the time comes. Ryan's in San Francisco. Ryan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I love the show. I've been a listener since Art, and we are a Coast family.
Thank you, sir.
My intuition told me if I called, I'd get through on the Wild, so it worked out.
And you did.
I started as a skeptic and still don't like to reject the null hypothesis when investigating coastly encounters because I'm pursuing a career in neuroscience. But after encountering some empirical evidence and some powerful personal experiences, I now have a new perspective on pretty much everything. I had a I went out to Sedona, Arizona, and
Very mystical area, you know that.
Right. Yeah, I did what was called soul activation. And it's basically like connecting through, they say, the fourth or fifth dimension and to your soul codes. And you clear your soul codes, and it's almost like rebirthing in a spiritual sense. So I was very skeptical. I was just going along with this because a family member put me up to it, but right off the bat, I felt completely different. All of a sudden, I saw love in everything. I saw appreciation in everything. I felt interconnected to everything. And it was the best experience I've ever had in life. Then it got even better when you start getting downloads about information that might be like theoretical particle physics or something that you weren't even necessarily looking into. And so now I find myself doing the intellectual grazing in many areas. But I did have a experience with a psychic vampire.
Oh boy.
Where I was meditating. And all of these, for lack of a better word, my angels were all coming around me and telling me to run and get away as fast as possible, which when you're in this state of love and appreciation, it's not normal to have fear or anxiety.
No, not at all. You got to watch those psychic vampires, Ryan.
Right. And so I tried to ignore this, even though my heart's telling me otherwise. And this girl ends up coming over and sinking her hand down into my clavicle, and I feel an energy move through me, and all of a sudden I can't meditate or do anything. And so I take a picture of her with my cell phone, and there's a lightning bolt coming up right off the right at the end of the
Do you think she was evil?
Her neck. I do think she was yeah, she was not there to be good. What she did is she basically used me as a battery.
That's right.
For conscious energy. And
right.
I know that sounds very extreme and very out there.
No, not at all. But, not, you know, we've talked about psychic vampires before, and that's what they do. Some of them don't do it on purpose. It just happens. She was doing it on purpose, draining you. That's what they do. Let's go to Mark in Asheville, North Carolina, home of Joshua P. Warren. Hi, Mark.
Yes, it is. I love Joshua P. Warren. I listen
Good
to
guy.
Often.
Does everybody know him out there?
Yeah. Both of my sons kind of introduced me to him, and we've actually been to one of his UFO. He had something a few years back where people were building model UFOs and launching them at night, and that was a lot of fun. We enjoyed that a lot.
I used to do that as a kid, too.
Yeah, it was a blast. George, I got a specific question for you tonight concerning the prepper movement, people getting ready, you know, for the apocalypse or whatever's going to happen here. This seems to me, I just want your opinion on this, because it seems to me that these people are, you know, they're wise in a way to prepare in advance for that. But in another way, it seems like they're setting themselves up and ourselves as a nation up for just a mass slaughter rather than going into a crisis, working together, you know, take World War II or the Civil War or whatever, you know, whichever side. But we had to pull together as a nation.
So you think the preppers, most of them, are up to no good?
No. I think they're very wise to prepare for, you know, a solar flare or whatever, you know, may disrupt the grid.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to be every man for himself, and there'll be no, you know, there'll be no pulling together as a nation and as a people.
Well, when push comes to shove, here's my take on it, Mark. I think, by and large, most people are good people, and they'll try to help their other fellow human being. I believe that. I will always believe that. I'll preface that by saying that there are other people who are not, that they're greedy, they want things for themselves, and when push comes to shove, they want to come first. I think that's happening with people who may be part of these underground bunkers we hear so much about in cities and things like that, too. And I think I think that's like 5%, but it's a very strong percent because they're very wealthy individuals. But I think most human beings would try to help other people. I've seen it. You know, I've seen two different things over the last couple months. I've seen some very rude people, and we're going to talk a little bit about that Sunday night in our first hour. And then I've seen people who are extremely benevolent, and they help out. Airplane again today. Some lady was trying to get her bag up there in the overhead bin, and some guy literally got up and ran up there and helped her. And that was fantastic. I know producer Tom, I witness him whenever we fly to Denver to do our Beyond Belief TV shows. He's always doing that. Tonight, I had a guy who they only had one area left to put his bag, and that was over my head. I was in row 8. He was in row 2. He could not get back to pick up his bag when everybody was getting off the plane. I mean, they were just like, everybody was coming down like cattle. He couldn't get up there. I took his bag down. And he's watching me like, what's that guy taking my bag? But I took it and handed it down to the guy in front of me and said, this is his bag. Just keep handing it down. And, of course, nowadays when you are walking around with a bag and you give it to someone, they panic. But, you know, that's what he did. And we got the bag to the guy, and he got off the plane because he was in the second row pretty quickly and didn't have to wait for all these rows to come by. Or the entire plane before he could go back and get his bag. I'm seeing a lot of that, too. That's starting to happen a lot. And I still think that there's a lot of hope for people, and things like that are going to happen. We're going to take a break in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. I want to give out my email address. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. And also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, if you would. How do you do that? That's simple. Just simply go to our website up there in the far right-hand corner. You just click Facebook. You like us there and follow us on Twitter. Just I love that. I think we're gaining by about 3,000 to 5,000 people a week who are following on that. And it's a great vehicle to get some quick information to you. Social networking helps. I'm going to come back in a moment. We'll take more open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, it's time for our traditional shout-out. Those of you who listen to us across North America on, listen to this, 570 radio stations, all-time historical high, 570 radio stations. Thank you. So that's Tommy in the background clapping like a seal, by the way. 570. So thank you. Those of you who listen to us on stream, Coast Insiders, appreciate all you do. Goal this year is 1 million Coast Insiders. We can do it. How many do we have now? I'm not telling you. But go ahead. 15 cents a day. XM Talk. Big changes there. Wednesday night into Thursday morning next week, May 8th, we are switching to channel 246 for XM. Make sure you know that. Those of you who listen, a lot of truck drivers, make that switch. May 8th, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, we switch to channel 246. And then the various chat rooms and groups all around this planet, Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, The Hollywood Ghost Hunters, Yahoo Chat Folks, and so many more. And also, don't forget our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting and listening to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're in Columbus, Ohio, back in the Midwest again. Of course, St. Louis is the Midwest, too. You know, I was born in Detroit, so very close to this region, indeed. But I got to tell you, the weather here is gorgeous. It's been lousy throughout most of the Midwest. It's just very strange. One of the coldest springs on record, by the way. Let's go to Modesto, California, west of the Rockies. Sherry's with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Sherry. Thanks for holding.
Oh, hi, George. I wanted to thank you for praying for my husband. I remember I told you he had that infection way back. You know, I kind of got graphic accidentally back then. It was called
yeah, you did.
The name of it.
How's it working? Everything work out?
He's getting a little bit better. It's pretty slow, but my pastor at my church said that he is already healed. It just hasn't manifested itself, and it's starting to do that. It's going to be a while, but I just want to thank you and keep those prayers coming because it's working.
Okay, you got it. And that's it?
Yeah. I also wanted to thank you for for all the wonderful topics that you discuss. You know, because I lose a little sleep over it, but it's worth it. I like to stay up and listen as much as I can, you know, and it makes me think about things that I never thought about before.
Well, Sherry, let me tell you, it's worth it. We enjoy doing what we do. We enjoy the speaking engagements that we go on where we can meet, as I will in just a few hours now. So many coast-to-coast listeners, and it's just fun. It's a great part of the program. So you are very welcome. Let's go to Tom. He's got a text message for me. What do you got for us, Tom?
We do. We have Sarah in Illinois. She says, "Hey, George, I recently discovered the practice of tapping, and it seems to help with my migraines. Have you ever tried it? And if you have, what has it done for you?"
Well, I have never had migraines. Tapping,
yeah.
Right? Knock on
yeah.
wood. But no, so I've never tried that kind of technique at all. I guess it works for her.
It works for a lot of people.
You know?
It works for a lot of people. I've tried it. It works.
You do it.
Absolutely. You focus in on your meridians and your pain and just kind of...
Just tap.
Yeah.
How long do you tap? Until it goes away?
I haven't fully studied it, but I think you tap for as long as is comfortable for you because everybody's different.
They used to say, do you know why rain dances work? Why it rains when they rain dance? And the answer is... because people never stop dancing. Simple as that.
Oh my God.
All right, thanks, Tom. Let's go next to Roy in Marion, North Carolina. Welcome to the program. Hey, Roy.
Hey, George. I have a theory about the three huge petrochemical fires that have happened since the bombing of the Boston Marathon.
Okay, what's going on, in your opinion?
There was another one tonight. I don't know if you heard about it. It seems like they're trying to keep the coverage small. Few miles east of Baton Rouge. You hear about that one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, big, like, tanks.
Anybody hurt?
They didn't say. They just showed a picture of big fireballs. And just previously, five oil barges went up in Mobile Bay.
Yeah, I was aware of that. Next to the Carnival Triumph cruise ship.
Yeah, I got about no coverage. And then there was the big one they couldn't keep off the news, 2.1, the Richter scale. In the town of West Texas.
Yeah, we had that one, too. I had the two of them. I didn't know about the one in Baton Rouge.
That's 3 in 2 weeks. They happen every few days. These are in reprisal. Maybe the L.A. fire, too, that's about 45 square. These are in reprisal for the Boston Marathon bombing, which was carried out by American neo-Nazis, Tea Partiers,
Nah, Roy, we don't know that.
They chopped off our children's arms and legs, George, and you know that's the end point. Now we.
Who,
we
wait, hold on, Roy,
of funding.
Roy, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Who chopped off whose arms?
The what are the neo-Nazis of America? They had the Tsarnaev brothers had $1 million of funding.
Oh, you're talking about the explosion and what happened.
Yeah, that was made by probably ex-military Aryan Brotherhood types.
Look, bro, you can't say that. I think, my opinion, two crazed sicko murderers, killers, did that. And I hope the other one gets punished to the full extent of the law once convicted. And his brother is dead and gone. And, you know, you can't bring in all these other groups without any proof. You really can't, you know. That's the same thing that I've talked to Alex Jones about. Not everything is a conspiracy. There are conspiracies. Make no mistake about that. But not everything is. These were a couple sick kids who had their own strange ideologies. And they went out and they killed and they thought it was fun. Let's go to Jose in San Antonio, Texas. First time caller. Jose, go ahead.
Hey, George. Yes, I want to tell you about my scariest dream.
Your scariest dream? What happened?
Yes, sir. It happened when I was about 16 or 17. I was in high school and I was all alone. And, like, I don't know why, but I was just there. And I was all alone, and I was walking in the there in the school, and then I see at the end, I see a shadow, a black shadow, and it had red eyes. I mean, I was so scared.
Was it an animal or looked like a person?
The shadow looked like it kind of looked like a person, you know, the arms, the legs, head, and everything. So then, you know, I get scared, and then I just start to run as fast as I can. And, like, I'm going, you know, I'm going down the stairs, and I went through several rooms, hallways, and then finally I come across a dead end. I have my back on the wall, and then, you know, I see it there, and it's coming, it's getting a little bit closer towards me, closer and closer and closer.
Get out of there. Get out of there. Why'd you stay?
Man, you know what? But I just froze. You know, I was just terrified, right? And finally, you know, it's right in front of me. And it's, you know, the red eyes. You know, I could feel the shadow breathing on me.
Like a demon.
Yeah, exactly, like a demon. And I could feel the shadow breathing on me. And I was just so scared. And then finally, I see the shadow's arm. And it slowly raises its arm. It's about to touch me. And then I just wake up. I mean, I woke up and I was just sweating. I was terrified. I was shaking, and I just started to pray because I was just that scared.
That sounds like a dream that could kill you. You could die of a heart attack with a story like that.
Oh man, you know what? I was scared for like 2 hours. I was shaking for like 2 hours. I mean, I just started to pray. It was the scariest dream of all time.
Ever come back again?
Never, no.
Good, no, you don't want that. Let's hope it doesn't happen tonight. Now that you've talked about it. Let's go to Audie in Rock Mountain, Virginia, on the wild card line. Hello, Audie.
Hey, George. It's great to talk to you tonight.
You too. What's going on?
Well, I was kind of wondering if I could get some advice. I'm trying to kind of break into the entertainment industry, and you're in it, so I thought you might maybe have the advice I'm looking for.
What kind of field of the entertainment industry do you want to get into?
Well, really, I like to act, and that's kind of the dream, but I'd like to get into the just the film industry in general.
Have you ever done any of this before, Audie?
Well, I haven't had any real experience. I'm 22, and I'm kind of stuck in a small town right now trying to get out, and I'd like to move to Richmond this coming year and go to VCU.
Okay, good for you. That's a good break. Look, when I was in high school, I did a lot of semi-professional plays. I had a great time doing that. I was thinking of going to Hollywood to be an actor. I wanted to be a broadcaster. You got to follow your dreams. One of the things I would do, whether you do it in Richmond or where you are now, is get into some civic theater stuff. Get out there. Get on stage. Get that in your blood system. And then, like you said, go to college and keep going. You know, most Hollywood actors and actresses came from small towns and cities where they were the best in their city, And they said, you know what? I want to go to Hollywood. And off they went. And some of them made it and made it big. I would do that if I were you. Start getting into the shows. You're young enough. You can do that.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you.
All right. Go for it. I want to see you in something. You do this. If you end up winning an Oscar or an Emmy one night, on stage, mention us on Coast to Coast. Just hold it up there in the air and just thank us. That's all. Let's go to Sarah in Arizona. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. I just wanted to know if Alf in Phoenix, Arizona, witnessed the bright blue and red blinking lights on the western horizon. It lasted for almost an hour, going further away and then coming closer, literally hovering right next to each other, getting closer to each other, further away from each other, going on top of each other. And then at the end of the hour of it being out there, it moved very quickly from the west side over to the north side of Phoenix.
So we're back to some more Phoenix lights, huh?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if anybody else had called in.
No, you're the first. You're the first so far. You should report this to the UFO Reporting Center.
Okay, and how would I get a hold of that?
Okay, you just go to our website.
Okay.
And in the search engine at the far right, type in Peter Davenport.
Peter Davenport.
Davenport, and then his website opens up. It's the National UFO Reporting Center.
Yes.
And just fill out the information when you go on that website. You'll also be able to find out if other people are reporting it.
Okay, and that will be live then?
Just about. He's always working.
Okay. Well, I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to your show for 3 or 4 years now, and I just am so excited that I got to actually get to talk to you. I'm like freaking out right now.
Well, I don't blame you.
Something like this.
Do you think at any point that we have this object, that it's ours, or do you think it's from out there?
No, definitely not. I mean, there is the Phoenix Airport to the northeast side of where I'm living, and I witnessed the airplanes coming through, you know, in their paths every single day, and this was nothing like it. It was going to the left, to the right, close to each other, on top of each other, and it was alternating in colors. It started out bright blue and bright red, and then it was two blinking red lights on either side, and then the two blinking red lights turned to two solid white lights with a blue light on the inside, and they seemed to be coming closer, and then they went far away into the horizon to where you could hardly see them, and then they would get closer again. I sat outside for 2 hours now watching the horizon, watching these lights go inwards, outwards, upwards,
back and
downwards.
Forth. Yeah,
and
definitely get to that website, Sarah. Fill it out. He should get that report from you, and let's see if other people have reported it. We haven't gotten any other calls on that. Let's go to Fred in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Fred, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot. I've been trying to get to you for months.
Wow.
I want to give you something here, and you can give me an answer or whatever, and
okay.
It may just be total silence. But I'm ex-military, ex-police, and I've developed a lot of friends over the years. And the ammunition buy-up that the government did, I'm sure you're aware of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend that told me about that months before it was going to happen. He told me, if you want any 9mm, go ahead and get them. And, of course, I did. But he said it's going to be hundreds of thousands of rounds, maybe a million, that the government's going to buy up.
He underestimated. It turned out to be millions, hundreds of millions.
Yeah, well, he also gave me another little cheery that you might want to sit on, you might want to pass along, and I'll
right.
listen for the silence. The government also bought up hundreds of thousands of body bags.
I had heard that years ago. Are you saying this was just recent?
It came about the same time as I got the information on the ammunition, which was probably 6-7 months ago.
I had heard that FEMA had purchased a number of body bags just to keep them ready in case something happened. And that brings up an interesting paradox here. Do you go ahead and buy all these body bags and keep them waiting for some horrible event to occur? But you're ready if something happens because you have to dispose of these bodies. Because if they don't have them and something happens, like a Hurricane Katrina or whatever, the tsunami that hit Indonesia, you had 300,000 people die. People will scream, you could have been prepared. You should have had body bags ready for them. So the mere fact that they bought the body bags doesn't mean anything sinister. Maybe they're just trying to be ready. The part of the problem is, though, when you look at that and then look at the millions of dollars of ammunition buy, then that's kind of scary. And as you well know, I do not believe in coincidences at all. At all. Anthony in Baltimore, I got about a minute left here for you, Anthony. Go ahead.
Hi again. How you doing, George?
Good. Not much time, but go for it.
I just wanted to see if you knew anything more about the chemtrails. I would see like an awful lot of planes. Like normally it would happen like around 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just go one after another, just laying down that stuff, and it would actually spread out and actually look like clouds.
Well, see, I haven't seen any change other than I keep seeing them wherever I am, whether it's in Minnesota or California or wherever. These chemtrails are everywhere. I want you to sit back and enjoy the next hour of Coast to Coast AM, selected just for you.